So Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. Jesus is in the temple. And as you may recall, as we've talked about, as we've gone through the Luke, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And he arrived, remember, the palm branches and the chanting and all the people wanting to make him king. And then he gets to the temple and he drives out those who are selling. And he's had his authority questioned. And he's had questions about paying taxes, give to God, what is God's. He's had questions about his resurrection and about his identity, questions that have been designed to trick him. And a lot of heavy discussion and questioning going on. And then there's these four verses before Jesus goes on and talks again about some heavy stuff. And it says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. He said, truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she has to live on. So he's probably in the first court of the temple, and in the first court of the temple there were these colonnades, which are like lean-tos made out of stone with stone columns. And under those lean-tos there were these receptacles where people would give their offering to the temple treasury. So a wooden box with a big metal cone coming out the top of it. And so people were putting in, there was crowds with the same story is told by Luke, and he said there was crowds putting in their gifts, and among them there were wealthy people putting in gifts, and then there was the poor widow who put in two small copper coins. And Jesus, he sees this in all the hustle and bustle and busyness of what has been going on for him in the temple. He sees this. Probably no one else noticed the widow and her two copper coins. Jesus sees what other people do not see. And he doesn't speak to the wealthy. He doesn't say, hey, wealthy, this is what you should be doing. He doesn't speak to the widow. He calls his disciples to him, we read in Mark. And he speaks to them. And he uses this as a teaching time for his disciples. In a matter of weeks, they're going to be the leaders in the church after his death and resurrection. They're not going to be people of position or with great wealth. And he's using this to encourage them for their task ahead as servants of God. He's also teaching them to notice and value things the way that God sees and values them. In this case, how does God value the gift put into the temple treasury? And of course, it's not about the money. It's not about the euro value. It's about the heart of the giver. It's about how it is given, the attitude of the person giving, their willingness to do without, the cost that it is to them as an act of worship to God. So he's teaching the disciples not to get distracted by the wealthy and their gifts, or by people of influence or position. Don't get distracted by the bling or the ching-ching. Instead, learn to value the things the way God sees them. So the widow put in two small copper coins. And Jesus says it was more valuable than all the rest. Now, I'm an accountant, and that doesn't make sense to me. But let's look at that gift. Let's look at what Jesus is saying here. And there's three things I'm going to look at. I'll just put them up here. The widow gave in worship. So she's in the temple worshiping God. And as part of her worship, she gives. She gives willingly and generously. And the widow gives out of what she had. She gives what she had. She's not put off by the fact that it's just 2 copper coins compared to what other people had. She gives what she had. Before we look at this, can I just say, we don't often talk about money or financial giving in this church. And generally, people are good at giving and giving regularly, using electronic transfer or using the box at the back. And some people give one-off gifts, which is great as well. And this sermon is not supposed to be a guilt trip. It's not using guilt to leverage giving. That's not what God wants. As we look at these 4 verses in Luke 21, God is teaching the disciples what God values. And I trust that as we look at this passage, we can learn that what God values is heart-based giving, regardless of the size of the wallet. And it's not just about money. It's about giving ourselves. It's about giving our time. It's about giving our talents. It's about giving all that God has given us and using it in worship of Him. So, Jesus sees the widow, and she gave her coins out of worship of Him. The widow's in the temple. She's gone to the temple to worship, and as part of her worship, she gives an offering to God. And others are there doing the same thing. Now, we don't know much about the widow. Was she in the temple every day? We don't know. Or was she here for the odd pilgrimage, maybe once a year? Had she been recently widowed? Or had she been widowed for a while? Is she grieving? And maybe in her grief, she's come to worship. In the last chapter, in chapter 20, we read Jesus talking about the teachers of the law and how they devoured widows' houses. And maybe she was one of the widows who had been taken advantage of. And maybe that's one of the reasons why she was in her poverty. Whatever her individual story, and we don't know much about it, it can't have been easy for her. She'd have had plenty to be angry about or depressed about. She'd have had plenty of reasons for self-pity or self-doubt, and maybe she had moments like that. But as a widow in that society, she would have had low status. She'd have had no income. But there she is in the temple, worshipping her God, and that's the same God that we worship this morning. And as we come, we all have different stories. Some of us have been born in different countries. Some had the honour of being born in Ireland. Some have more wealth than others. Some are older than others. Some know more things about some things more than others. Some have gone through some terrible life experiences, and some are going through difficult times now. Some have been Christians for decades, and some have only come to faith recently. But as we come, whatever our story, we have this in common. We are here to worship God, the same as the widow was. And as part of her worship, she gives. She knows that God is her refuge and strength. He is her high tower to which she can run. What was it in Psalm 16? Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. That Aaron read. And also, she comes to worship the God while a refuge and a symbol of strength and a strong tower. It's also the God who is like the mother hen sheltering chicks under her wings. This is the God on whom she depends. This is the God who is her provider, her Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, the God from whom all good and perfect gifts come. She focuses on Him, and she gives her 2 mites, her 2 copper coins, her offering, her way of giving back to God. Her worship is not just words or thoughts. It leads her to act, and she gives. So, as we come to worship God, we turn our eyes to Him. We think about all that He has done and all that He does for us daily. Aaron said, the greatest gift that we have is salvation. When we think of this, who He is and what He has done, our response is worship. But it must not just be worship of words and songs. Worship is not just an event or a moment. It is lives lived for him. It leads us to give and to serve, to love our God and to love others. So I think Jesus is teaching and reminding the disciples, God sees and values our worship and our devotion and our worship to him. When we focus on him, it leads us to act, it leads us to give, it leads us to serve, it leads us to love others practically. And that's, we can serve and love with how we spend our time, how we use our gifts, how we use our skills, how we do hospitality, how we share our belongings, how we use our influence, and yes, of course, how we spend and give our money. Some of these thoughts are shared throughout other verses, James chapter 1, and in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And Luke 6, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And then he talks about the person who is building a house on the rock. The person who builds the house on the rock is the person who hears Jesus' words and puts them into practice. Philippians 2, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And this is what the widow is doing. She's in the temple, she's worshipping her God, but her worship leads her to act, to serve, to give her two mites. So then we'll see that the widow gives willingly. She puts in her two mites. Just thinking of that wooden box and the metal receptacle. What noise do you think a bag of coin would make putting in that? Kind of a thud and then a metal splash as it hits the bottom into the wooden box. Or a handful of coins, the clatter, the rattle that it would make. And her two small copper coins, what would that make? A tinkle or something. It wasn't a big sum, and yet Jesus says it was greater than all the others. So as we look at that gift of the two copper coins that the widow put in, there's some things we can learn, I think. She gave to God out of what God had provided her. She was able to give as God had enabled her to give. That's all she had, and that's what she put in. And the same is for us. God can give, we can give as God enables us. Our gift will depend on what we have. Our giving, whether financial or otherwise, is proportional to what God has given us. And of course, this will change over time. Sometimes you have more, sometimes you have less. Whether that's money or time or whatever. And so what we give will change over time. But what we give comes out of what God has provided us. And in 2 Peter we read, he gives us everything we need for life and for godliness. So we give out of what God gives us, how he enables us to give. And she was generous. She could have put in one copper coin. She didn't. She put in two copper coins. She was willing. She was generous. No one would have noticed if she just put in one. But she gave. She put in two, all that she had. And what she gave cost her. It was not out of her abundance like the wealthy that Jesus referred to. So the wealthy could give and not feel it. They gave out of their abundance. Maybe they could have given more and still not felt it. But what the widow gave had an impact on her. It cost her. It was a sacrifice because she had nothing else to live on, as Jesus said. She put herself out. The widow was willing to let go, to part with what she had in her love of God and in her service of others. She was willing to give. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells a story about the Macedonian church and how they responded to the needs of Christians in Jerusalem. And Paul says that the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches, and he says, out of the most severe trial, so they themselves were in trial and persecution, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty, because they themselves were very poor, welled up in rich generosity. And it says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable, according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. And so it's the same for us. We should be willing to give in ways that cost us. Maybe we have to put ourselves out. Maybe we have to go without. Maybe we have to give something up. And as we said, giving is not just about the money. Are we willing to put ourselves out by giving our time, by using our energy, helping with something, using our skills, using our training? And at this, I was thinking Romans 12 is helpful. In Romans 12, Paul writes, having had 11 chapters of talking what God has done for us in the gospel through Christ, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, so again, in response to our worship, our devotion of God and what he has done and what he does, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then he goes on through to chapter 12, and it's worth reading. He refers to ways in which we can do this, how we can live as living sacrifices, how we can give and serve in sacrificial ways. He talks about us being members of the body, and we all have different gifts. Verse 7, it says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And he goes on to talk about love. Love must be sincere. He talks about sharing. Missing the verse now, but he talks about sharing. He talks about practicing hospitality. He talks about rejoicing with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, coming alongside and supporting. He says, do not be proud, but associate with people of low position. He says, if your enemy is hungry, then give him food. If your enemy is thirsty, then give a drink. Overcome evil with good. These are ways in which, in our worship of God, as we seek to serve in response, that we can give. Are we willing to give in these ways? Are we willing to give out of what God has given us? Are we willing to give generously? Are we willing to give in ways that cost us, just as the widow did? So, Jesus sees that the widow gives what she has. We talked about the widow's position, or the lack of it, how she compared with other people in the crowd, how she compared with the wealthy, how she dressed, what she gave, her mites tinkling into the receptacle compared to the other noises of other donations given. But she came with what she had. She was not deterred by the size of her gift, or by her low position compared to others. She was not hindered by her poverty or her lack of resources. She was not concerned by what others thought. She was being faithful in her devotion to God. And the same goes for us. We can come with what we have. Sometimes I think we think what we have is too little to give, or it's not good enough, or we compare ourselves to others and consider them better, more confident. And this may stop us from acting or serving. And I know that us Irish are probably more inclined to do this than maybe some other nationalities. So as the disciples listen to Jesus, how can these two coins be greater than all the rest? Maybe they were recounting other things, other times with Jesus, other words that he said. Jesus said, if you want to be great, then you need to be a servant. If you want to be first, you have to be last. If you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, what about meager offerings that they would have come across before, faced with 5,000 people on the hillside, and a little boy comes forward with his meager lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus takes that and he magnifies it and he feeds 5,000 people plus, and there are leftovers. So we can come with what we have. We don't know what God will do with our offering, with our acts of love and our acts of service. And this again is part of our worship, trusting that God will use us and our offerings to fulfill his purposes as he enables us. I remember a few years ago, well, I was 20, so that's more than a few years ago, a speaker at a youth event didn't show up for, can't remember the reason, but I was asked, would I give my testimony? And there was other speakers as well, but I did, and basically, in my view, I made a hames of it. I was garbled and not very eloquent. Maybe not as garbled, but I'm still not very eloquent. And I decided, well, never again, not ever doing that again. But 3 months later, a girl I knew from school came and said that night, on hearing my testimony, that was the night that she came to Christ, that she was saved. Now, for me, that was a big lesson, because my gift was not perfect. My gift was garbled. My gift was not eloquent. But God was able to use it that night. He wants our hearts to be willing, not our actions to be perfect. So let's learn from the widow. Let's come with what we have as God has given us, knowing that if we give willingly, he can use that as he sees fit to achieve his purposes, whether that is feeding 5,000 or whether that is someone coming to faith. So day to day, week to week, we're told to show hospitality, we mentioned. And that's not about a fancy meal in the best room with the favorite china. That can be a cheese sandwich and a cup of tea. The issue about hospitality is not the performing the meal. It's the welcome and the openness, making people feel welcome. It doesn't matter whether you're a great cook or not. Coming alongside and sharing with someone, being a good listening ear. For the meal rota, and we're doing one for Keila and Stephen at the moment and little Niamh, there are some people who can do great 3-course meals. And I know that others buy a Just Eat voucher. They still want to give and be part, but they can help in the way that they can. We can use our practical gifts, cut someone's grass, help someone with their tax return, offer to a car in the moving of a house, or paint a wall, offer with childminding. There's lots of different possibilities with the Sunday club, helping there. Just meeting up, going for a walk, and having a chat to support each other during the week, with the direct provision with the Carrick Tool Home Group, we do food delivery every fortnight, fresh fruit to the direct provision centre. Could help with that. Opening your home for a home group. There's lots of different ways in which we can give. Our gifts do not have to be complicated, do not have to be perfect. We just have to be willing and to give in ways that God has enabled us to give. And if you think that you have nothing to give, well, I suggest that you do. Ask God to show you ways in which you can give and to serve others. I think you get the idea. The widow is not deterred because her offering was small. Maybe her clothes didn't compare with the wealthy in the court. Others may have looked down on her or looked down on her gift, if they had even noticed it. But it was a valid gift and it was valued by Jesus. She gave more than all the rest because she gave it in worship. She gave it willingly and generously. She gave what she had. I think the disciples are being encouraged not to let their lack of position or their lack of wealth stop them from serving God, to measure things the way God sees them, and to be faithful in serving and giving willingly for His glory, to value offering based on the heart, not the wallet. I hope this is helpful. I hope it equips us a bit more for the work of service that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Worship of our God leads us to give and to serve from what God has given us, knowing it will cost us, but knowing that God will see it, and we pray we'll use it for His kingdom and His glory. I'm going to finish just with a verse from Hebrews 13. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God that is worthy of our praise. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you that you keep us safe because you are our refuge. Father, we thank you that our worship of you is part of our life, the way we live our life. Father, we pray that you would enable us, that you'd strengthen us, that you'd show us those opportunities, and that you'd use us for your glory. Amen.